Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this evening, this Sunday, March 22nd, 2026. I always have to think about the year still.
Yeah.
I still have trouble, even when I write a check, writing that 2-6 on there. I still struggle with that. But usually by the time April comes, I'm worked in. Old dog can't learn new tricks very easy. But we want to welcome all of you here. It's really good to be here on New Visions Radio every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. And we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us this platform here on this independent music station. And we're one of the only ones that I know that have this kind of a platform here on this program.
And I am not musical. You are, but I am not.
Well, I don't know if I'm musical. I like music. I like to try to play it. But we have a lot of fun at the church when we get together and we do fellowship and sing songs. It's really a lot of fun. Songs that bring praise and honor and glory to God. And, you know, that's something maybe we could talk about sometime, Ed, is the Christian world today is very different than it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And things have changed so much. And some of the music that they've brought into churches today seems to be very irreverent. And it's almost like you're having a rock concert. And, yeah, I'm not saying this to offend anybody. But in church, when I was growing up, the music was always very reverent. And it was supposed to bring honor and glory to God and His Son.
Right.
And today it's very different, it seems. And so music is a very powerful thing.
Yes.
And it can influence us. It can make us think about things from the past. It can put us in a place and time if you hear a song that you remember from your childhood.
It can affect how you feel, your affect, you know, how you, your emotions, and not always good either.
That's true. It can make you pat your feet. It can make you cry. It can make you smile or laugh.
Make you angry.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So the music that we listen to, this is something that as time goes on, I've spoken about that in the past, but maybe we should talk about that more in the future.
Yeah.
So anyway, we want to welcome you here. We hope you will tune in here every week as we open God's Word and study the Bible. We're a small ministry, Prophecies of Hope, and Ed usually tells us a little bit about what we do each and every week.
People probably have this memorized by now, but we're just a really teeny small little ministry, really. We are. We're nothing compared to the rest of the world.
True.
But we're in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. Which is really cold today.
Yes.
But it will get warmer. Spring will be here, and it will be beautiful here. All the flowering trees and bushes, and it's just beautiful.
It is. They're budding already.
In the spring. Yeah. And so we have our services here on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. available via Zoom. It's a Bible study time, but we have prayer time as well. You know, some people, that's a problem for them, spending so much time on prayer, but it's something we feel that's beneficial for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our church service on Sabbath or Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have Sabbath school, our Bible study time at 9:30, available via live stream on our website, prophecyhope.com, and through Zoom as well. Then we have our church service at 11, which is live streamed.
Yeah. And so this is all Eastern Time USA. If you would like to contact Ed, how do people contact you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. So if you'd like those links to how to Zoom with us for the Bible study or Sabbath school, contact us and we'll make sure that you get that link. Also, Ed, we want people to have a Bible in their hand.
Yes.
And why is that so important?
So you can read the words for yourself, so you can know for yourself what it says. It's not you just listening to us and just believing what we say or not believing what we say.
Yeah.
And that you can see for yourself. You know, I was on my computer earlier today and just downloading more Bibles in my software.
Yeah.
Because of the conversation I had this last weekend. I had a Bible study with someone, and so I thought, I want that version of the Bibles. Give me more information.
It's good to have different translations, and while we don't recommend studying a paraphrase, sometimes a paraphrase can give light to right. you that you wouldn't otherwise understand, because it simplifies the words a yeah. lot of times. But in doing that, sometimes they change the meaning of yes. the text too. So if you would like a copy of the Bible, we offer King James and New King James. Contact us and we'll make sure you get a copy. And also, as Ed mentioned, check out our website. Excuse me. Check out our website. We have a lot of sermons on there and a lot of content that you may benefit from. And if there's a Bible topic that you want us to discuss, we don't have all the answers. A lot of times the things that we learn come from questions that people ask, and it opens our eyes to things that we've never seen before. That's happened a number of times.
Yes, it has.
And so please ask those questions, and if we can find a Bible answer, we'll dig it up and study it. And if we can't, we'll tell you the Bible doesn't say anything about that. We can't give you a Bible answer on that particular topic.
You know, if we don't know, we'll tell you we don't know or
Absolutely.
Don't understand.
Absolutely. That, well, just last week we were talking in Matthew, and there was something that was there on the page, and you and I, we said, well, you know, I'm not really that familiar with this.
Yeah. But,
and so we're always going to let you know if we don't know something. And I will tell you, there's probably a lot more in the Bible that I don't know than what I know, because we're constantly learning these things. And Ed, is there any other business we have to do before we start this Bible study?
I don't think so.
All right, I just moved my chair and it squeaked. I don't know if the mic picked that up.
I wonder what that was.
I'm on a swivel chair here in our studio. So, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, where there's great knowledge for us to direct our lives and to learn of your great love for us and the salvation you have planned for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we study these things, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand what we're reading. And Father, help us to apply them to our lives, this information. And Father, may you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we've been studying the life and ministry of Jesus. And there is so much to this. There's so much information. And I think you brought out, I think it was last week, you pointed to the text in John that says that if everything that Jesus did were written down, what's it say about that?
There wouldn't be enough books in the world or something like that to contain it all.
And it's true. So we really have, while there's a lot of information in the Gospels, if you think about how do you cover 3.5 years of ministry in just those few pages.
Right.
You can't. So we just have the highlights. You know, we've been given the highlights, and it's enough to know who Jesus is. It's enough to know what his character is. It's enough to know that he is truly the Son of God, and to see what he can do by the power that God has given him.
You know, all the information we've been reading about in terms of what he's been teaching people, telling people, what he's done in terms of making people well, causing people to be healed through the power of God. This is not just once every once in a while this happened. This was a daily occurrence in the life of Christ.
Absolutely. And so when we look at these accounts, the other thing is they're not fairy tales. This is history. This is recorded history. If more people would recognize that the Bible is history recorded for us, and not just history, but there's what we would call history recorded in advance, which we call prophecy.
Yes.
There are prophecies in the Bible, and as we do this study on the life and ministry of Jesus, we're going to be talking about some of those prophecies.
This is why we still say that we're still living in biblical times, because these prophecies haven't been fulfilled, although if you're familiar with prophecy, you'll recognize that the world we live in right now, many of these things that the Bible is pointing to before Christ comes again are starting to happen right now.
Absolutely. And we'll be getting to those things as we go through these gospel accounts. We'll talk more and more about them. And it's exciting to see. And some people get scared when they see these things happening. But Jesus tells us not to be afraid.
He says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world.
Yeah. So there's really, while it can be scary times, because things that we don't know are always a little scary to us.
And of course, we have to trust that God is in in control because we're not in control.
Absolutely. That's so true. And this world is completely out of control. Yeah. It's obvious. But last week when we were talking, I think we had finished up Matthew chapter 9, and we had read chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, and we talked about looking at Isaiah. There's a particular chapter in Isaiah.
There's Isaiah chapter 53. I don't remember why we were talking about Christ's experience, but this is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, and it tells us what he experienced on this earth and what he would experience on the cross as well. And so I think it gives us more information about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he came to this earth.
And I think what led to this, Ed, if I remember correctly, because I don't make notes, unfortunately. I try to do it from memory. But if I remember correctly, we were talking about how Christ came and lived the life on this earth
right. So
that he could help us to overcome. And I know we talk about that a lot.
It's important.
It is extremely important.
It gives me hope in my life, I'll tell you that.
And that's what this ministry is about, prophecies of hope.
Yes.
And while some of the things that we talk about when we look at the world, when we see things that are going on, it might sound like doom and gloom, but really we have hope. That's what keeps me going. When something happens in my life, Ed, you know, recently we lost a good friend in our ministry.
Yeah.
And I think that some people, when somebody dies, they take it so hard. The disciples took it hard when Jesus died.
Right.
And sometimes we take it so hard that we lose our focus. And it's the hope that God has given us, the hope in what Jesus Christ has done for us, is what helps me to say, you know what? It's not all over.
Yeah.
He's laid to rest for now, our friend,
mm-hmm.
but I know that I'm going to see him again. I feel very confident I will see him in that first resurrection.
Right. Isn't that why they say rest in peace?
Yes, absolutely. And really, we should allow them to rest, and we should have peace about that. So
let's go ahead and go to Isaiah 53. There's only 13 verses?
It's 12 verses. Yeah.
Do you mind reading that for us?
Not at all. And I'm reading this, Isaiah 53, from the New King James Bible. And we'll just read it all the way through,
right.
And then we can talk about it a little bit. It says, Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his land. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
So this speaks of what Christ experienced on this earth. You know, it's interesting that he didn't have an appearance that we should desire him.
Yeah, that always sticks out to me.
His attraction, that people were attracted to Jesus Christ, was his character.
Yes, his personality.
His love for people.
Sure.
His words that he spoke, you know, the words that God gave him to speak, gave them hope in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just as it gives us hope in our lives. You know, he had compassion on people that were ill, that were sick, that were disabled. Even through the Spirit of God, raised some people from the dead.
Mm.
And so this is not only shows us what Christ experienced, but it shows us his character and what was in his heart.
Absolutely. The other thing that sticks out to me, and I think some people think about it, but verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions.
Right. My.
For the things that I've done.
Yeah.
Right? And it says, he was bruised for our sins or iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, by what he did, I can have eternal life.
We can be healed.
Yeah. From this sinful state that we're in.
Right.
And so in order to do that, we have to make the choice.
Of course. God doesn't force us to accept his gift. It's all freely given to those who would accept it.
Yeah. And verse 6 says, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I've done it. And then it says that his Father, Jehovah, has laid on him, that's on Jesus, the iniquity, the sins of us all.
You notice that in verse 1, that the arm of Jehovah is referred to as Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's at the right hand of God, isn't
yeah.
he?
You know, Psalms 89:13 says to us, you have a strong arm, your hand is mighty, your right hand is exalted.
Hmm.
You know, it's Psalm 63:8, my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. You know, Jesus is often referred to as different symbols in the Bible, but here is talking about the right arm of Jehovah, or the arm of Jehovah in this case.
You know, to put this in perspective for people who might be new to this ministry, in business there's a saying, if you have somebody that's very important, you might say, this is my right-hand man.
Yeah.
And when somebody says that, that means that they need that person to be able to do the duties or responsibilities. The Father needed his Son to do what he did for us. The Father, and this is confusing to some people, because they believe, they'll say, God came and died. No, God's Son came and died.
Yes. You know, sometimes it's good to clarify terms.
Yeah.
And when you say God, you're talking about Jehovah.
The Father.
Yahweh. The Father of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. And he sent his Son.
Right.
And he sent his Son for us.
So you're saying Jehovah did not come down
no,
to die on the cross.
Jehovah's Son, Jesus Christ, came.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing that Jesus is the right-hand man, we could say. This could not have been done without God's Son. There's no other being in the universe who could have done what Jesus did.
You know, when we when you talked about verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, mm-hmm. bruised for our iniquities, with his stripes, his beating, his whipping, his scourging, whatever you want to call that. He bore the penalty for my sins. But not only did he experience pain from bearing all the sins of the world, my sins, he experienced my embarrassment.
Yeah.
My guilt, my shame.
And he didn't do anything.
But he also physically experienced extreme pain. Can you imagine being nailed, your hands and feet nailed to a cross?
Physical pain and emotional pain.
Yes.
I don't think we think about the emotional part of that.
Right.
You know, his heart was broken.
Yeah.
It really was. And I think that so many times, yeah, the physical pain that he went through, I can't imagine. I mean, I get a splinter in my finger. I'm a big baby. And I can't, I can't imagine having literally nails piercing your hand, going through your hands, through your feet.
Jesus voluntarily experienced this for my salvation, for your salvation. It talks about in verse 10 that it pleased Jehovah to crush him, to grieve him, that he should put forth the soul as a guilt offering. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the will of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. Because God knew that his son needed to experience this, to not only bear my penalty for my sin, to allow the opportunity for eternal life through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, but Christ having experienced these difficulties, he can now help us in our time of need.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we're talking about this, we don't want to forget the love that the Father has shown.
Right.
So many times, I think as Christians, the Christian church tends to focus everything on Jesus Christ.
Right.
But think about, for those of you, I'm not a parent. I don't have children. Ed, you do. And I know that if anyone would try to hurt either one of your children, even though they're adults, you would do everything in your power to prevent that.
Sure.
You would say, no, take me, not my son. That's what you would say. But God loves us so much that he says, you know, I can't do this for you. I have to provide my son. He gave his son. He did the unthinkable by giving his son, by giving up his son and allowing him to go through this. And the thing is, Jesus did this and the Father did this because they love you so much.
Right.
That's the only way this could happen. This is an act of love. Unspeakable. I mean, I can't even imagine it.
You know, I want to share something related to Isaiah 53:10.
Sure.
We can find it in Hebrews 12. And I want to just read verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about chapter 11, the faith chapter, which it talked about the Old Testament believers, followers of God, and the faith that they had.
Mm-hmm.
It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that was set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of God.
Yeah, mine says the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah. So this is Jesus. He endured the cross. He despised the shame because he understood what the results of it would be.
Mm-hmm.
For the joy that was set before him. For the people that would accept his gift and would be saved from destruction and would experience eternal life.
Yes. And when you say accept that gift, it doesn't mean just, oh, well, I acknowledge that it happened. What's part of accepting that gift?
Is living it.
Yes. Making it a part of my life.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm going to live like Jesus lived.
Yeah.
He was faithful to his Father right up to the death, right?
Yes.
This is what's expected of us. Now, he had to do that just by the power that God gave him, by the strength that God gave him.
His faith.
Yes. So we have to do that by the faith that Christ Jesus gives us.
Right.
This is what led us to this text. This is what we were talking about. It came back to me as we said that. That's why we're here looking at this.
Yeah, Jesus had total reliance. He says, in thee I will put my trust. I will put my trust in thee. I came to do your will.
Yes.
You know, his faith was and trust was totally 100% in his Father. the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll get there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Not my will. If possible, Father, take this cup from me.
Yeah.
But not my will. Let your will be done.
Yeah. And I think about how a parent must feel when their child says, maybe they have to go through a surgery or a painful event, and they say, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And the parent talks them through it and says, you need to do this.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be good for you. This is going to benefit you. Well, Jesus wasn't doing this to benefit himself. He's doing it to benefit you and me.
Yes. Yes.
This was completely selfless. There was nothing in this for Jesus as far as for him personally.
Not only was it completely selfless, it was completely for love for the creation of God.
Yes, love for others.
For human beings. And that was his motivation. That was what was in his heart. And you can see that throughout the gospel books, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes.
By the way he lived his life.
And how hard is that, Ed? Think about how hard it is. Jesus didn't just die for those friends, those disciples that were with him that loved him.
Right. Many people were against them. The religious leaders were on the lookout to try to kill him.
Yeah. So how difficult is it to say, you know, I'm laying my life down for that person too? That's the love that he had. And this is really, as Christians, the love that we're supposed to have for those who even persecute us.
Yeah, what did he say to the men nailing him on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah. Ed, I'm not there yet. I have such a hard time with this aspect of it. Somebody pushes me, I want to push back. But that's myself, that's me.
Right.
But Jesus was pushed, and there were times that he didn't even say a word.
That's what was prophesied here in this chapter we just read.
Yes.
That, where is
about
it?
About the lamb, wasn't it? Let me see. I'm scanning through it here. I just read it, and I can't find it. Oh, it was verse 7, yes.
Yeah. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth.
Yeah.
He was brought as the lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Even in a verbal disagreement, someone accuses you of something, you know.
I want to defend myself. Yeah. That's natural for me.
Right.
But again, what's the focus? It's me.
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus didn't focus on himself.
Right.
He was focused on everybody else. He came to perform a task, and really to overcome the devil. That's what he came to do, to overcome the accusations, the everything that the devil had really accused him of. He came and showed that this isn't true. The things that the devil said, they're all lies. Even though he might put a little truth in there, if it's mixed with lie, it's a lie.
Sure.
So, and this all goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. All of this account, it's amazing to me. I never get tired of talking about that, Ed, how the Bible from front to back is just, it's seamless.
Well, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, two people,
yeah,
nobody else, God loved them so much, he said, I'm going to create a way.
Yeah, and he did.
To overcome this problem.
Yes.
And that was a prophecy in Genesis 3:15, that God would provide a way to overcome this problem, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ.
He would provide a seed, he said. And in this text that I read, here it is, in verse 10, yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. In fact, it even says in that text in Genesis 3:15, depending on the translation, that he was bruised in the heel.
Yeah.
And it says, it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. That's the seed that we're talking about in Genesis. So, go ahead.
You know, I don't know that we'll ever understand the love that God and Christ have for us.
Yeah.
To be able to do these things, to accomplish these things. But I'm grateful.
Amen.
I'm very grateful that God has loved me so much that he has done this for me. And in return, you know, I want to love him. I want to be obedient to him. I want to be used by him.
Sure.
To accomplish his purposes.
To help others to recognize what's been done, that this world is temporary, that the things that we see that are happening, the sickness, the death, the wars, the weather patterns, the earthquakes, all of these things, they're temporary. And I believe they're very temporary at this point. Yeah. I believe that Jesus will be coming at some time soon. I'm hoping in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, I trust and know that it will eventually. And that's the kind of faith that this is the faith that Jesus had in his Father, that when God says it, it will happen. And this is the faith that we can have, that when God says it, it's going to happen.
You know, when we were in Matthew 10, the first four verses talk about who his disciples are. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus came to this earth to share with us the love of his Father, love of his God, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you want to use, that he has for us, and to share a means of salvation that he would partake in, you know, through his death on the cross.
Right.
And he came to preach the gospel. He came to tell people who his Father is. But in doing so, he also educated these disciples, so once he died and was raised again and returned to heaven, they would continue with this process. And this is what has spread throughout the world, people
today
that are preaching the gospel, to preach the message, so people can know a way of salvation through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. In our simple little ministry, we've been called to do the same.
Sure. Each individual, anyone who professes to know Jesus Christ, this is a mission, this is a task that you have been given to share this message with others.
Yes.
Whether it's a family member, a schoolmate, a workmate, a neighbor, somebody you see at the grocery store, that person that's made you mad, that's sitting at the stoplight and won't take off when the light turns green. With everyone.
Yes, everyone.
Yeah.
So why don't we pick up in Matthew 10 where we left off?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and read verses 5 through 15. That's the section I have.
Okay.
Okay.
Now mine says sending out the 12 there. Is that,
okay.
Are you reading or am I reading?
I can read, yeah. This is the Modern King James, verse 5. Jesus sent out these 12, commanding them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the nations, and do not enter into any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. You have received freely, freely give. Do not provide gold, nor silver, nor copper in your purses, nor a bag for the journey, neither two coats, nor sandals, nor staves, for the workman is worthy of his food. And into whatever city or village you enter, inquire who within it is worthy, and there abide until you go away from there. And when you come into a house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come on it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city."
Wow.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
In verse 5, it says, Jesus sends out the 12, commanding them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the nations. Do not enter into any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
Mm.
Why did he say that?
Well, my understanding, Ed, is that those people that were of Israel, they knew and understood what God had done for them in the Old Testament. They knew these things. This was part of their heritage, their history.
And they understood the services of the sanctuary.
Yes, with the sacrifices.
Which all pointed towards Christ.
To a Messiah. Yeah, they knew that there was one coming that would eventually fulfill these things. And so if he gives it to them first, and they see this, and they see that he is the Messiah, well, now think of how quickly this could spread.
Right.
Because you have millions of people who already have this message, and all they have to do is take it to the rest of the world. So it would get done quickly.
Yeah, I hope people understand this was God's plan for the nation of Israel from the beginning.
Yes.
To share the way of salvation with the other nations.
To share Jesus Christ with the other nations.
To be evangelists.
Yes, for the Son of God.
Yeah.
But do they even acknowledge the Son of God as a nation today?
No.
They rejected the Son of God then, and they've continued to do it.
You know, there's a little bit of prophecy involved in this, too. When you look at the book of Daniel, and it tells us in chapter 9 that there's 70 weeks determined upon your people.
Yes, that's in verse 24.
And Daniel's people, of course, is the nation of Israel.
Of course.
And they were giving a starting point of the command to go and rebuild Jerusalem after they were taken captive in Babylon. And it gives a certain space of years, and it predicts the exact year that Christ would come and start his ministry, when he would die on the cross, and when the gospel would go to the nations versus the Jews.
Yes.
And so there's this prophecy involved in this saying as well.
Yeah, and don't be fooled when you read those verses. That's Daniel chapter 9, yes. Ed, is what you said. Read the whole chapter, but the prophecy specific that you're talking about begins in verse 24 and goes through the end of the chapter.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, so many churches today are taking this prophecy and they're twisting it into something that it is not.
Yes. They take that week that represents Jesus Christ beginning his ministry, and half of that week he would die on the cross.
Yes.
And the rest of the half is the end of that declaration to God's people. And then it would finish the transgression, their transgression against God.
Yes.
And it would go to the Gentiles, which God used Paul to do that. And as well as some other disciples.
Friends, I have had numerous discussions, particularly here where we live. We're in Virginia, and there are a lot of different churches here, and many of them have this false understanding. But if you read this in its context, it's very interesting when you read those verses.
In its timeline.
Absolutely. Because in the middle of the week, it talks about, it says,
sacrifices.
Yes. Yeah. And that was when Jesus died. That was when the curtain was rent in two. And that was in 3.5 years of his ministry.
Right.
And so read that account and keep that in mind, and you'll see that what many churches are teaching about putting this timeline at the end of time, no, this timeline happened when Jesus was here.
They pulled that week of Christ starting his ministry, dying on the cross, and they halfway through, returning to heaven in those last 3.5 years, the gospel going to the nation of Israel.
Right.
They take it out of that time period and put it
at the
they
end
don't
of
even
time.
Know when at the end of time.
Yeah, right. They put it after the what we would call the second coming of Jesus.
Right.
But it can't be if you just read it. Just read those words. And that's what I've done with pastors, Ed, is I've pointed to it and says, how can I take this? What is this talking about? And when their jaw just drops.
Yeah.
They have no answer, and they want to go back. Well, this is what the church teaches. Well, that's not what God's word is saying.
It doesn't matter what a church teaches. It doesn't matter what Prophecy of Hope teaches. It doesn't matter what Ed or Mark teaches. It matters what the Bible says.
Amen. Amen. We can't state that enough. So when we go back here to what you were talking about with this do not go the way of the Gentiles, Jesus wanted this work to be done quickly, but it didn't happen. It didn't happen because there were too many people that rejected it. So now he says, we've got to find another way to get this gospel out. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing now.
You know, look at such technology that we have today. I have Bible studies online with people in a person in Europe and one in Africa.
That's amazing, isn't it? Halfway around the world.
Yeah.
And you can talk to them right from your living room.
Right.
Face to face.
And so even so much of social media, much of the internet is used for evil purposes. It's still a blessing from God that can be used for his purposes in spreading the gospel.
Yeah, it's so true.
You know, in Matthew 10:7, he tells them, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, some people are focused on this kingdom. This kingdom occurs because of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, people often forget the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Right.
You know, they concentrate on the kingdom. Well, they're concentrating on physical things.
Exactly. Instead of what can happen in my heart as a result of the kingdom? How can I be changed rather than what am I getting from it?
See, that's why Jesus is saying that proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is there.
Right.
And he's bringing them he's in the process of bringing them salvation from what he would eventually do on the cross. Since the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The way of salvation is at hand.
Right.
The gospel is happening right now.
Amen. And the word gospel means good news.
Yes.
And so this gospel has to go to the world. I want to point something out, Ed, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And you were talking about the language and how, or not the language, but the fact that we have the internet and how fast we can get things done now that we couldn't before. And one of the things that always sticks out to me is at the Tower of Babel, everybody spoke one language. Mm-hmm. And God makes a statement here in Genesis 11. It says, now the earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass that they journeyed, and it talks about it. And then it says later on that God says there is nothing that could come up into the heart of man that would be unattainable for him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why was because they were all one language.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. He confused the languages, and progress stopped, and they had to spread out.
They spread out across the earth.
Right, yeah. And that's what he wanted them to do without having to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have all these different languages. But today, God has given us the ability as men to be able to develop technology. And there's technology now that if I speak in English, it'll translate it to pretty much any language.
Yeah, there's something I see people on YouTube that are traveling in different countries that don't speak the language. They'll get their phone out and use a translation on their phone to communicate.
And you know that's been available now for quite a few years, but now it's better than ever. So think about how quickly we can get this work done now. How fast can we preach the gospel today with that type of technology? God is speeding things up. He's allowing us to be able to do these things so that we can get this work done. The sooner we get it done, the sooner Jesus Christ comes back.
Right. You know, in Matthew 10:8, he tells the disciples also to heal the sick.
Yeah.
Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. You have received freely.
Give freely.
Freely give. Mark, do we charge a lot for the gospel?
You know, Ed, that's a really good question. We send Bibles all over the world free of charge. There's a cost involved, but not to the person that receives the Bible. This ministry is, when I say self-supporting, in other words, you don't get a dime.
I would say God-supported.
Yes, God-supporting, yes. But we've never taken up an offering. We've never asked anybody for a contribution or donation. God has provided those things. And you have a secular job. You're kind of retired now, but you still work. Mm-hmm. And I still have an income from a job that I've had, from a business that I have. And our brother Rick works, and his wife works. Nobody is a burden on the financial part of this ministry.
No one's paid anything.
No one, not a dime. And all of the funding that this ministry has goes into producing and trying to get the gospel out to others. Maintaining the facility, naturally. You have to pay your electric bill and your gas bill, right?
When you have a problem, you have to get it fixed.
We have to fix it, and we're dealing with that right now with one plumbing issue. But God has made those provisions, and that's the thing. He's freely given that to us.
Yes.
So we need to freely take this gospel and preach it and get it out to others.
You know, it's not just a monetary thing.
Right.
It's a heart thing as well.
It is.
He has given us freely from his heart, from the love that he has for the human race.
Amen.
And that's the same type of freedom. We received it freely, no charge to us. We need to pass that on.
Absolutely. And this verse 8 that you just read, it says in verse 7, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. You read this just a moment ago. Raise the dead, cast out demons. Well, a lot of people will say, well, this doesn't happen anymore. Well, how do we know that? I don't know what goes on in other parts of the world. I don't know the miracles. I know the miracles God has done for this ministry. Mm-hmm. And if we talked about them, people would say, no, no. But it's true. We've seen miracles. And think about it. Even if, and I'm putting this out there for the listener that might be skeptical. Even if this isn't talking literally, the gospel does heal the sick. If you stick to the word of God and follow God's commands and his diet, your health will get better. Mm-hmm. You will feel better.
Sure.
Cleanse the lepers. Well, anything that I have that might be caused as a result of that diet or maybe the lifestyle that I'm living, all of those things can get better if I'm clean, right? Next, it says, raise the dead. Well, what about those who are dead spiritually,
right? Yeah.
And then it says, cast out demons. Well, if Christ is in you, there's no room for a demon.
Right. You know, I pointed this out a little while ago. I just noticed it. When we, at the beginning of this chapter, it tells us who the disciples are. And Jesus has given them power through his Father to do these things.
Yes.
And one of those is Judas.
Oh, yeah. Judas Iscariot, right?
And if you read John 13, the Last Supper, Judas is in the presence of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the disciples are asking Jesus, who's the one that's going to betray you? And he says, the one who dips, you know, in the same bowl.
Right. Yeah.
And it's Judas. And it says, at that moment, Satan entered
him. Yeah.
Judas, who, whatever it was in his heart, whatever he had cultivated in his heart, allowed Satan to enter him. Judas had been given the power to cast out demons.
Yes, he had.
Yet his choices in life allowed Satan to enter into him. He was in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who, when they couldn't cast out demons, was able to do it because he says these take much prayer and fasting.
Yes, he did. We read that not long ago.
But even in his presence, Judas had the freedom to choose, and he chose by his choices in life to allow Satan to enter into him.
It's really sad. The choice is ours.
This was a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So don't let people fool you.
Yeah. It's easy to be deceived. It's easy to be fooled. And this is why we have to have a relationship with Jesus and not with the pastor or the minister.
Yes.
I mean, have a relationship with them, but no, your relationship is a personal relationship with Jesus.
But not a relationship for salvation.
That's right. That's only through Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Also, I want to point out Matthew 10:15. After he's told them and given them power to do these things, and if they don't receive you, he says, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Because Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the disciples of Christ going in and performing these miracles as well as preaching the gospel.
Right.
And, you know, it could be that if that would have happened in those evil places, remember, these were destroyed by fire and brimstone from
right.
God. Came about these cities and destroyed them for the evil in there. Jesus says it's going to be more tolerable for them than the city that rejects the gospel that the disciples preached.
Yeah, so what's being said is if you reject this gospel, you're going to be lost.
Yeah.
And really, this is what happened, as we talked about when we looked at that prophecy in Daniel, when we were talking about that. People were rejecting the Messiah. They're rejecting the Son of God. And this is why it's so important to make that choice. Ed, we've talked about it a number of times. Choose life,
yes.
Right? I put before you the blessing and the curse. And God, we have the choice.
You know, I've been doing a series of videos on Daniel chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end where the stone cut out of the mountain strikes the statue, which represents the kingdoms of the world, and destroys that and sets up a kingdom that will never be destroyed.
Amen.
Do you know that kingdom's been promised throughout the Bible?
It's amazing, isn't it?
God made this promise to David that I'm going to set up through your seed a kingdom that will last forever. If you read through the Gospels, there are people that are calling Jesus the Son of David.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they recognize him as that king that's going to have an everlasting kingdom.
Yeah. And today, according to the national Israel, they're still waiting for that. For a Messiah.
No.
But our Messiah has already come. He's lived and he's died. He has paid the price. And now he's a high priest in the heavens. And it won't be long before he comes back.
Right.
The promise that he made, he will fulfill those things.
Well, again, going back to prophecy, if you understand the prophecy in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
you realize the world is in the feet of and toes
yeah.
of iron and clay mixture.
Yes.
And the next thing that happens is this stone cut out of the mountain and crushes all these kingdoms.
And this is why we say that the time is very, very near. Because really, when Daniel was on the earth, he was living in the time of Babylon, which was the head of gold.
Right.
And then all of those kingdoms, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, divided Rome, right? We're living in that, like you said, in the toes of that
image.
Yeah,
those toes represent, and the feet of clay and iron represent modern-day Europe.
Yes, absolutely. And so there we are. And the next thing that happens in that dream is that
right.
the stone crushes the image.
Right.
So, in other words, all of the worldly kingdoms, all of the earthly kingdoms, there will not be earthly kings, because the Father and His Son will be the King of the universe.
And you understand that when Jesus came to this earth, there were no kings. There's no king from the nation of Israel or Judah. At times they were separate in two separate groups, and there never has been one since.
Yeah, that's true. I'd never considered that.
And Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" And he says, "You say so."
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. I'd never.
And Pilate presents him to the people. Here is your king.
Yeah.
And they say, we have no king but Caesar.
Right.
Which was
a Roman.
Which was a apostasy.
Right.
To say that.
Well, think about it. Also,
they should have no king but or no except God.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is, you know, this is the whole narrative of the Bible, that God is trying to help us to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. He's done everything. He has provided everything. He's making sure that the gospel gets out. That's why we're doing this. We want people to make a choice for Jesus Christ. Choose Jesus. Choose life. Make a choice. Ed, we have about a minute and a half. Is there anything you would like to sum up? You know, we've talked about Matthew chapter 10, the 12 apostles.
You know, sometimes, and I've said this myself, I'm not capable of teaching and preaching this. I don't know how to do this.
Right.
You know, if you were not to say even one word, people can still see how Jesus has made changes in your life, how he has transformed your life. It's probably just as great of a witness as words coming out of your mouth.
Yes, the example that we live.
And you don't have to worry about words to say. If you don't know what to say, just say, well, let's open the Bible and just read these words on the page.
Sure. Yeah.
And let them speak to them.
So it goes right back to what our friend, our brother who died would say, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words.
Yes, right? Yes.
And that stuck with me. And he said that wasn't his. That wasn't his saying, but that's something that he lived by that.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And when we went to his funeral, we saw the impact that he had on people.
Right.
And it's tremendous. So we're out of time for this week. And friends, we really appreciate you tuning in. Let's have a word of prayer before we close. Father in heaven, please help us to be able to preach this gospel. Father, we just ask that you will put us in front of people, that we can live the example that Jesus lived, and that we can be a witness, not just by the things that we say, but by the things that we do, by the life that we live, that we can help people to turn to your Son, Jesus Christ, and gain that everlasting life, that they will put their faith in him. And ultimately, Father, that's putting our faith in you and what you have done in sending your Son. So we just ask that you will be with us until we come together again. We thank you so much for all of the blessings you've given us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, thank you again for leading this study. And friends, we hope you tune in next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.